Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise your name. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Now, Lord, I yield myself to you. Declare my thoughts, order my steps in your word. And, Lord, I yield myself for your use to speak your word, your plan today, Lord. Once again, we've already given you, Lord, and spoken our will, and that is that you bring your will into this house. Have your way. For this we praise and thank you, Lord. Because of that, things will be accomplished in this house and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Phil, can I share something first?
Absolutely.
On Friday, a miracle happened. I went to the food bank, and my sister goes with me, and she helps me. And we were winding up with, getting everything. Everybody was getting the food and everything. And all of a sudden, I seen this car go flashing past us. You know how College View is. Goes flashing past us. Goes down into the ditch. I realized that it's my nephew in the car. He has put the car. He got in the car. He started Austin. He started the car, put it in reverse, flew down the hill. Just before then, there were children playing. And the car ended up in the ditch. And, I mean, it's got big ravines. And my sister's freaking out because it's not her car. She's afraid that she's going to lose Austin because she isn't watching it. And we all gathered. And we held hands and prayed that what God meant for bad, or what Satan meant for bad, God would turn to good.
Yeah.
And I ran down the hill. Austin was untouched. The car was untouched. Sandy says, I have no money to pay to have the car towed out. A couple, Terry and Joanne, says, we'll call AAA. Called AAA. It didn't cost her a penny to get it out. It built her faith.
Praise God.
It built mine. It built everybody that was in that room. Because we prayed what the devil meant for her, God would turn to good. The cop, she was so freaked out that she would be arrested for child abuse or, you know, whatever, endangerment, child endangerment. But the fact was there was people down there just a few minutes before playing in that ditch. There were so many things that could have happened. That car could have rolled. He could have been hurt. But what the devil meant for bad, God told him.
Amen.
And I just wanted to share.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need to rejoice.
Amen.
Two and a half?
He's two and a half?
He's tall for two and a half.
Oh my gosh.
He started the car. When I got down to the bottom, Sandy can't run because she only has one leg. I got down and I'm telling Austin, unlock the door. And he couldn't unlock it, and he couldn't unlock it. And Sandy got down there and she says, Austin, open the door. And he walked to the front to start the car. That's how smart he was. He was going to So praise God.
Amen.
That's the funny thing. She had him in her pocket inside the building. He took him out of her pocket, walked to the car, and started it.
Oh, my.
The car, the keys were not in the car.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
so God is good.
A big hedge of protection around that kid.
No doubt.
Wow.
Well,
Amen.
The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth,
Hallelujah.
Seeking those on whose behalf he can show himself strong.
Yes.
And God knows exactly. You know, Well, I think we take for granted sometimes the fact that when we say this, we talk about this, but I'm not sure we really, really believe that he's never late and he's never early and he's always right on time. And when he does something, he does it for a purpose. The kingdom was built. Faith was built, like Karen said. You know? And didn't he show himself strong? Save that little boy? Save the people who were the ones who were in the ditch? Save mama from a lot of heartache, from legal mess? See, that's the kind of things the enemy wants to do. Amen? And God's always, he's an ever-present help in time of need.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
An ever-present help. He didn't just show up on the scene. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, omnipotent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I appreciate that testimony.
Amen.
Glory.
It was awesome. I mean, it was from step to step. You knew God was with us.
See, I want you all to understand it's not just blessings on a few of us. It's blessings on all of us.
Amen.
You know? God's a jealous God.
Yes, he is.
And when we start getting a little bit to a place where we start getting a little lethargic, a little bit, you know, pulling away and stuff, you know, hey, he's not willing to let go. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got so much on my heart this morning. Don't get nervous. I'm not sure where to start here. Some thoughts that have been going through my heart. Stand with me and we'll read Psalm 139 first, and then we'll get on to our text in Romans 8. Romans 139, starting in verse 1. That's what I said. Psalms 139. See, I'm testing y'all to make sure you're awake. We already know I'm not. Praise the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Praise the Lord. And verse 23 and 24 say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Our Redeemer is faithful and true, is he not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's no place to hide from God. There's no place to run from God. There's nothing that goes on in our lives that he's not aware of. We hear that, and yet because it seems like our lives from day to day are kind of mundane repetitive, that doesn't mean that he's not on the scene. His mercies are new every day, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. His hand's not short that it cannot save. We heard the testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's always on the scene. He knows. He knows. If that is not a sign of his love, his undying, unchanging, and unreserved love for us, then I have never seen, nor do I know what that is. Are you with me? You can't help it. Praise God. You can't help it. I've told some of you the story before. I'm going to relay this story. It has nothing to do with the text, but since we're talking about this, I want to relay the story. There's a man who used to belong to the Full Gospel Businessmen. His name was Len Orr. I don't know if any of you would know him, but I knew him well. Wonderful man. Man who loved God. Big guy. Used to work for Walt Flanagan Concrete. And he told a story of being when he was on the road driving trucks. He worked for this particular outfit where they hauled jet fuel. And if you know anything about rocket or jet fuel, that stuff's explosive on contact, at least rocket fuel is anyway, explosive on contact with the air, with oxygen. It ignites and goes. They were in a little place where there's just a little fuel stop and a little cafe. You can see for miles in any direction. And there were three trucks. He had a new rookie with him. He had put in his time. He was getting ready to climb in the sleeper. And he was telling the young man, he said, okay, now you just follow the guys that are, the other two trucks, and they'll take you right on into to the base where we're going to drop this fuel. Well, for those of you who may not be familiar with, when you have a vehicle that's large like that, they use what they call pneumatic brakes or air brakes. They're air brakes is what they are. And sometimes, you know, they got little quirks. Sometimes when the air bleeds off, they should lock up, but instead they release the brakes and you'll roll. And as the engine's running, what it'll do is it'll all of a sudden kick the brakes on, it'll lock your tires or your wheels up so you can't go anywhere. Well, the other two trucks had pulled out, and they were kind of just sitting alongside the road, just kind of creeping, waiting for this guy to get out, and he's looking. And when those two trucks went out, the first two trucks went out, there was nobody around, nothing. And everybody can see. I mean, it's wide open. The people in the cafe, people in the little fuel stop there, and they can see what's going on. This kid gets in the truck. Len's just about to climb in the sleeper. The truck starts to roll out, and all of a sudden the air brakes lock up, and he's right in the middle of the intersection. And out of nowhere, I mean literally out of nowhere, comes a truck doing highway speed. And immediately what goes through Len's mind and the minds of everybody else after they got together and, you know, confided in one another afterwards is the fact, and even the people in the restaurant, cafe, you know, the cafe and the fuel stop, they knew there was no way this truck was going to stop. They knew they were all going to die that day. And as that truck was coming, no matter what he did, there was no way he was going to stop. All of a sudden, Len looked out the door and saw in the mirror Jesus standing 3 feet off the ground, holding out his hand like this. And that truck stopped. And Len said, I wouldn't have wanted to have my hand between the two trucks because my hand would have been mashed. That's how close. And the people didn't even realize what they had just seen. I mean, they were so bewildered and so caught off guard that they didn't even realize what they'd seen. So after they'd gone and dropped off the fuel, they came back to the stop, and they got to come back to the stop again and started to reflect on that. And Len was looking for tire marks, you know, tread, you know, from the brakes being applied. Not one tread mark. And after talking to the people in the fuel stop in the cafe, I don't know if they saw Jesus, but they saw what happened, and they knew that God had intervened. Because that would have caused a chain reaction explosion that would have ignited the three trucks, and then in turn would have ignited the service station, the fuel stop. Ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows what you have need of before you ask. And anyway, as that truck stopped, Jesus turned to him, and he called him by name and said, Len, have I ever failed you? And was gone. There were souls swept into the kingdom that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's on the scene, folks. He's on the job. Never, ever forget that. Even though you may think you're in a mundane routine, if you will, I don't know what the word is, going in circles kind of a situation in your life, don't ever forget that God's on the scene, always. He loves you. He's a jealous God. He says you're the apple of His eye. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand that? Do you really realize you're the apple of His eye? He's jealous over you.
Amen.
What a thought. How do you comprehend that? I don't know that you can. You just receive it. Amen? He's not a respecter of persons. And He's there. some of Harry and Marie's testimonies, some of the testimonies of other people in this place. We've seen the hand of God many times, right on time. I'm going to relay one more story because I think it's pertinent. You know, God's eyes, again, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. There was a guy who was running down in the same kind of a scenario, down on a road that just went forever, flat ground, you could see forever. Hadn't seen a car in a long time, and all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, there's a man standing alongside the road. The man stops and picks him up. They have a very brief conversation, about the most conversation they had during the whole trip. And he found out, and so he told the man where he was going, that he had to make a turn somewhere down the road and go on into this town that's right around there. And, I mean, it was a strange place for somebody to be alongside the road, because there was nothing for miles and miles, hundreds of miles. So he stopped and he picked up this man, and they got to, you know, they talked just a little bit, and he told him just in the beginning, you know, like, okay, here's where I'm going and stuff. How much conversation, the man turned on the road that he was supposed to turn on, and he stopped to let the guy out. And about the only words this man spoke was, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And the man just kind of pondered it for a moment, then kind of blew it off and was headed on down the road. And as he looked in his rearview mirror, still no vehicles of any kind, and he was gone. The man that he had picked up, the hitchhiker that he picked up, was gone. He got into the next town to buy fuel, pulled into the service station, and he's kind of scratching his head, and the attendant says, well, sir, is there something wrong? Is there something I can help you with? I mean, are you all right? He says, you know, I says, I just had the strangest thing happen. He says, I picked up a guy in the middle of nowhere. We didn't have much of a conversation. And just before he got out of the car, he turned to me and he said, Jesus is coming soon. And when I turned away and looked back in my mirror, as I pulled out, he was gone. And the big tears began to stream down the station attendant's eyes. And he said, you know, you're the third person that's told me that today. Don't ever doubt the love of God, folks. Don't ever doubt the love of God. Don't ever doubt the love of God. Or that He's interested in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. When God's after you, He knows the decision you're going to make. The Word's not just filling the pages with type when it says that He loves you and He knows your beginning from your end, because He is the beginning and the end, and He's got the hairs on your head numbered, and He knows the decisions you're going to make. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if God's after you, oh, surrender, give in. Amen? Praise the Lord. Once again, we kind of get caught up in the mundaneness of our lives, the repetitiveness of our lives, and sometimes we get a little lax. I said sometimes. I didn't say all the time. Sometimes we're going through struggles. We tend to kind of lose our focus a little bit. We all know that. This is something that's not new to anybody. And, you know, there is such a thing as a sin of omission. Don't shout me down now. Sin of omission. You know, lethargy. Sometimes because of the mundaneness or the routineness of our lives, we tend to get a little lax in our relationship. You know, nothing going on. Nothing's really going bad, nothing's really going great, but we're just going on. I started thinking about, in fact, I heard this said, and I started thinking about that and meditating that in Romans 1:39, actually verses 6 through 10 were the scriptures that mainly I was meditating on. But I got to thinking about, and started to read Romans 8 again, and I don't know why, but there's just something in that that for some reason I believe God wants us to hear today, and we'll find that out when we get through it. First of all, in Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I think we're going to see a little bit clearer what that's all about here as we go on. See, sometimes because of the way we're brought up and because of the religious nonsense we've been taught in the Church of the Frozen Chosen, if you will, we get weird ideas. I want to remind you, there's another scripture that says, if your heart condemns you, He's greater than your heart. In John 3:17-18, He said, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And when condemnation comes, it's because they don't believe. Moving on in 1 John 3, in the they've not believed in Jesus, in the Son of God. And it says at the end of that, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? There's so many things going on in our lives that sometimes we don't realize it. First of all, the Spirit of God never leaves. Amen? He never leaves. He's right there with us. Now, sometimes we don't acknowledge Him and He gets kind of quiet, but He never leaves. So, and when it's talking about walking in the flesh, we're not going after, as it talks about in Galatians, the kind of things or the works of the flesh. There are things that happen in our days. We get a little sidetracked, you know, and kind of get off a little bit. We may go someplace where we shouldn't go for a moment or two, but we get caught back because of that Spirit that dwells in us. Now, in verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life," the law of the Spirit of life, "in Christ Jesus has made me," made you, or made us, "free from the law of sin and death." Amen. The law that required restitution. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," you understand, law comes from flesh. I mean, the law we're talking about, the Mosaic laws and things like that, those were traditions and things that they followed, I believe, by order of God to a point. But today, those laws are causing death in people. It's like the Bible says, the letter of the word alone, the letter of alone, kills. It's the Spirit that gives life. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin of death." The law of the Spirit of life. What Spirit of life? Jesus fulfilling the plan of God, obeying Him, so that God's plan to redeem His man would be brought into fruition. Verse 3 says, "What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And by doing so, He condemned sin in the flesh." Condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? Not condemnation on you. The Bible says, we read in the first verse, "There is therefore now no condemnation." What He's condemning is the wrong. Jesus took that, He bore it on the cross, and did away with it once and for all. Amen. I'll second that. Why did He do it? "So that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There was a righteous requirement. Disobedience, or sin if you will, requires recompense, requires restitution. "Sow to the flesh, and you will of the flesh reap corruption." Okay? Verse 4 says, "That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, y'all know that since you became a Christian, you can't put your mind on the things of the flesh and be comfortable. You can't get focused on the things of this world and be comfortable. But the Spirit who dwells in you, that Spirit that makes you alive, that quickens you, quickens your mortal body, is always drawing you back and reminding you, number one, whose you are, and what your life is all about, and what glorious work has been done in your life. And when you live in the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, you go back and think about what you thought about and what your life was like before you knew the Lord, and you'll understand that scripture very clearly. You thought about everything but God. But now that God's in your life, He's got a hold on you, and you're now not slaves of sin anymore. You're slaves. I'm a slave of God. What does that mean? Where can you run and hide from Him? We read that in Psalm 139. Where can you run and hide from Him? Where can you get away from Him? Where can you go that He can't reach you? That's right. Nowhere. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we've all experienced that. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." It's an enemy. This soul nature, this mind, unchecked and uncontrolled by the Spirit of God that dwells in you, that has renewed your spirit and made you alive unto Him, is an enemy. It has appetites and things. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do those things. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Now, he was talking about when he was in his young walk, before he'd started to mature. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, can't we?
Right.
Praise the Lord. But because the carnal mind in verse 7 is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of God. Right?
Right.
And he can't, because they're striving against one another. Each one is striving for dominance. But thank God, because of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, who lives in you, abides in you, because your temple is the temple of God and the temple of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit is always there. That Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in God, is quickening you, reminding you all the time where whose you are and where you need to be going, keeping your focus in the right place.
Amen.
Amen? So then the observation in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because the flesh, which is an enemy of God, uncontrolled by the Spirit of God that dwells in you, wants to go its way. When you were in sin, you weren't even concerned about what you were doing. You just let it all hang out, did it. If it feels good, do it. Don't know what I'm talking about. But you are not of the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, how do you know you've got the Spirit in you? Because the Spirit is always working in your conscience. You hear me? He's always working in your conscience, drawing you back to the right path, letting you know so that you'll be quick to repent. Say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. Amen? No man can serve two masters, can they? It's impossible. And if Christ is in you, in verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, you have the righteous one who dwells in you, who leads you in the paths of righteousness. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. But if the Spirit of Him who raised... This is the Scripture we've been alluding to through this conversation so far. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ, the Anointed One, from the dead, will also give life... The King James says, quicken your mortal bodies. Make alive your mortal bodies. Through His Spirit who dwells in you. It's all about the indwelling of the Spirit. When you receive God, you receive the Spirit of God. Now, there are manifestations that come after that. We're not going to talk about that today. The point is, you receive the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that causes the change in your heart that takes you from a life of death and destruction and removes you from the kingdom of darkness and changes your identity from identifying with the Father of this world to the Father of life, and that life which is more abundant. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Let me try that again. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. When the Spirit of God's in you, and you feel that unction to function, if you will. I'm using some cliche words. You'll forgive me. But the point is, you feel that unction to function, and you know. Your conscience is pricked when you go anywhere or when you get off. If I'm not mistaken, you, Harry, you and Bob and some of the others can tell me about this, Bill, Richard. There's cars now, I can't remember the make and models, but there's cars now that actually will tell you when you're starting to veer off the road if you fall asleep. Imagine that. God had this technology 2,000 years ago, or at the foundation of the world 6,000 years ago, and we're just catching up with our vehicles. So it's not possible for you to go to sleep while you're driving. By the same token, the Spirit of God's there working in you, making alive your mortal body so that you're not going to sleep at the wheel, so that you're not getting off track. Hallelujah. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. When Jesus came into your life, I made a comment to my son the other day. We were talking, and by the way, God's working, beginning to see some things change.
Hallelujah.
In that little girl's life. She's finally come to the place where she's admitted that she doesn't love this other man. It's all but over. When little Michael was in the hospital, they had a long conversation, and as I go along, and as Mike and I talk, even in the middle of the night like we did last night, because he works till 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, he got off at 2 and got home early, which I was grateful for. Anyway, of course, he's in that house all by himself on the weekends because the courts and their infinite wisdom have given her visitation rights that means he's gone for the whole weekend, Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock or 4:30 all the way until 7 o'clock Sunday night. We were talking about it, and she's confessed once again. Did you see? And see, this ought to be so evident to us about double-mindedness. She just has no foundation, so she's kind of here, there, and all over. It's like she's in a boat with no oars, and she's just floundering out there. And she's moved by wherever the waves and the wind take her. But there she comes to her right mind every once in a while and comes back and says, I love you. I really don't like what's going on here. I'm not happy. And you know what did it is the fact that he stood strong and he didn't let her see that I can't function without you. So God's working. Now, he's made the commitment. He's going to follow this through to the end. You know the old saying, the world has once bitten, twice shy? Well, that's not God's saying, But the point is that sometimes you got to do things with resolve. It's called tough love. It's not that he doesn't care or have compassion. Through this all, he's not the one that wanted to wring this little girl's neck. It's his family and his dad, which is part of the family and stuff like that, see? Who's walking in righteousness with those thoughts? Because of him, God's using him to keep me on the straight and narrow. Because of the Spirit that dwells in me and dwells in him. The same Spirit that dwells in you. It's the law of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit tells you, you don't have to, let me go on with my story. I got sidetracked there. Sorry about that. Let me get back on focus. One of the things that I've struggled with, and y'all don't cock your heads and look at me because I know you've struggled with it at one time or another in your life, whether or not God really, really loves you. And yet when I see God's hand extended to somebody who's in such a mess like that, and I see the blessings of God in my life and the fact that he's never left me nor forsaken me, he's never left you nor forsaken you, and I see his hand working even in a situation that from all the outward appearances looks hopeless, God's on the move. If he loves with that tenacity and with that kind of love, which we know he does by the word, that's one of the things that brought us to salvation. Remember the scripture that says we love him because he first loved us? Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When did you ever see a father or a mother in their right mind ever turn on their child? Don't all raise your hands at once now. Never. So we, as flesh creatures, who are being renewed every day in our walk in mercy and grace and salvation, how much more does that love abound and show? If he's reaching out to the lost, and we're his, and he's always on the scene to save little boys from imminent death or destruction of the entire family monetarily, freedom-wise, how much more does he love those who serve him? He doesn't want anybody to perish. Spirit himself bears witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I'm reminded that one of the things the scripture tells us is that we're supposed to take up our cross and follow him. Well, as I recall, when Jesus had the cross on his shoulder, that wasn't exactly an easy task. But God was with him. The Father was with him. And you and I both know by our experiences that God has always been with us. He's never left us nor forsaken us. He's never not been there. Amen? And he says, take on me Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's there, an ever-present help in time of need. You're not in this on your own. And yet one of the first things we do is when we get in a struggle, we turn and say, God, where are you? Instead of being still and knowing that God's right there, He's got everything under control. But indeed, if we suffer with Him, or we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. For I consider, here's Richard's favorite verse, one of them. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Michael's hurting right now. It's understandable. He gave his all to the relationship and was rewarded with treachery and grief. Reminds me of another situation or another story where somebody gave their all, and because of the love that was unquenchable, because He is love, He didn't turn on us. Because of our treachery and sin, we rejected Him. He was rejected, but He did it anyway. He did it anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is groaning and looking for the revelation and the revealing of the sons of God, which you and I are. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Didn't you experience liberty when you got saved? Didn't you feel like something had been lifted off of you? Didn't you feel like you had been translated from darkness into light? Now you're a member of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's you and I, say that's me, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now we've been redeemed, we know that. But aren't we calling things that seem as though they're not, as though they are? We have a hope, we have a knowing in our spirit, but aren't we waiting for that day? It's called faith. Amen? It's called faith. So we're groaning and waiting for that day when He comes back and delivers us from this body of death, the surroundings that we're in. Amen? We've already been delivered from life, from death to life. We already have the blessings of God in our lives. I mean, once again, I ask the question, what good does it do to have all the blessings of God when you're already in heaven? I mean, I'll take them whenever I can get them, but the point is, it doesn't do us much good in this life. And not only that, Jesus would have died in futility and in vain. Not possible. Not possible. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, okay, we read that part. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We're waiting for it, aren't we? We know we've got it. We know the money's in the bank, if you will. Amen? And one of these days, He's going to split the clouds, and He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth, and we're going to be translated from life, or from immortality, from mortality to immortality. I'll get it right here in a minute. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. It's the Spirit who helps you in your weakness. How many times have you been at a point where you felt like, God, there's no hope. I don't see a way out of this. And He stepped on the scene. Now, you know that's the truth because you're still here and I'm still here. And we're still walking in the blessings of God. Right?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's both for other people and for you. The Spirit groans in you and through you for others. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now listen to me carefully. We all know that doesn't mean we're puppets on a string. But he has predestined us by the acceptance of Jesus in our lives and the decision to serve him and walk with him. We are predestined to things that God's already designed to walk in, to operate in, and to accomplish. Right? Can we agree on that? So he conformed to the image, predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who he predestined, he also called. Who he called, and whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Doesn't the Word say that we're going to share in his glory? We're not supposed to seek glory now. We're supposed to give him all the glory. But at some point, because he is the head and we're the body, that glory is going to come down and we're going to be right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So he who did not spare his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Salvation of a little boy's life, a car that's not damaged, suffer no loss. If I've ever seen a picture of suffering no loss, that's it. Not a hair on their head was singed, nor the smell of smoke. The only thing that was destroyed was the plan of the enemy, the chains that wanted to bind them and create havoc and heartache.
Woo!
Yes, amen.
Freely give us all things. Doesn't the Scripture say he doesn't withhold any good thing from us?
That's right.
Hallelujah. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Did you notice it says who? Did you know that these are not just circumstances? These are entities? Let's see what they are. Shall tribulation or distress, whom you yield yourself for servants to obey, his servants you are, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Hang on to your seats, folks. Strap yourself in. The best is just about to come. Verse 37 says, yet in all these things, all the afflictions of the righteous, but God's promised, I will deliver them out of them all. And it's all because the Spirit dwells in you, and you have been freed from the law of sin and death, and the Spirit of the law of sin and death. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And now we can be persuaded, I am persuaded, that neither death nor life, remember we're still talking about entities here, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I just feel like I got plugged in to that old charger that just recharged my batteries. Refocused my hope. Amen?
Yeah.
In the right place.
Amen.
See, when I see, as I told you, you know, at one point or another in our lives, we struggle. Does God really love us? When I see God working through my son, who from the appearance on the outside looks like he's not really close to God, yet when his heart begins to speak and he lets his heart have control, his which is dominated by what he's been taught and by the word that's in him, which is the Spirit also, which reminds him he begins to speak like a man of God. He is a man of God. Because he doesn't meet my standards does not mean anything. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
So, we should be walking in victory all the time. When the calamity comes in an instant, and you're taken by surprise, remember that God is not taken by surprise. If God was asleep, none of that miracle would have ever happened. But your Bible says he never sleeps, he never slumbers. Hallelujah. You ought to know that anyway because of the times that he comes and whispers in your ear in the middle of the night and you wake up, you have fellowship with him. He drops something in your spirit or your heart, either to pray about or just wakes you up to say, I'm here, I love you, my beloved. Whew. Goosebumps. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the old hymn. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say, because I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Woohoo! Glory to God. We've heard about some miracles today. Can I tell you something? I'm standing here looking at miracles before my eyes in every one of you. Miracles. God chose you, Marie, before the foundations of the world. Whew. Hallelujah. Deborah, he knew you before the foundations. He chose you. Fran, Karen, all of us, every one of us. He chose us. And us and our silly, puny minds are wondering, God, do you really love me? Whew. How weird is that? I worship you, Almighty God. There's none like you. There's none like you are. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you worship this morning. Because you're still on the job. No matter how we feel or what we think or how silly we get in our times of weakness, Lord, you're right there. Remind us, Lord, that when we're weak, you're strong. That's why the Bible says, how will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Don't get fixed, focused, and stuck in a rut and think that's just talking about back when we received Jesus. If his salvation and his mercies are new every day, then that means every day we need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can I just share something with you honestly? When I came here today, I really didn't want to be here. Not because of you, but because I felt that I'd let you all down and I'd let God down. I'm not going to explain that. I'm not going to go into the workings of that. But I can tell you one thing, that God has never allowed me to come into this pulpit and not given me something. Even if it didn't come across to what I thought was the best. You know how I know is because I'm not in control of me at this moment. That comes from the calling and anointing of God. It's on you. It's not just in this pulpit. It's on you. It's in you and through you. It permeates you because of the Spirit of God who dwells in you. That's making alive your mortal body. Quickening you. If you like that word better. My thoughts were, God, I'm not your man. How did I get into this? And yet God still continues to operate. And I stand back and bat my eyes like a frog in a hailstorm, if you will. And I see God step on the scene. Because it's not me. I'm not capable. Why don't you just get that down, Bill, and let it go? I'm not capable. But He's more than adequate. He's more than enough. Amen? Hallelujah. And He's given the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And He's given the Spirit who guides us into all truth, who reveals the will of God, teaches us. Amen? Hallelujah. So we can say like the one in the Bible, my spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. But I'm here. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here because God wants me here. Didn't ask my opinion. Didn't ask your opinion. You're here because He wants you here. Didn't ask my opinion. Didn't ask your opinion. He set you here. I remember a man one time sang a song. He came out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think he was affiliated with the Kenneth Hagin School, Rhema Bible Training Center. But the song that he sang, man, I'm telling you, that was a powerful song. It wasn't real demonstrative. Y'all probably never even heard it before. But it was a song that ministered. You got to bloom where you're planted. What need would I have of God if I had all the adequacy in myself? I'd be running around with a head bigger than that clock back there. But I need Him. I desperately need Him. How about you? And I know I need Him. See, the proof of what I just said, and only you can know, is if you got touched today by what God said through me. There it is. There's your measuring stick. If God ministered to your heart today and encouraged you, then that means the Spirit of life, the Spirit of adoption is at work. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we ought to praise Him. We ought to thank Him. It's not based on us. It's only based on our willingness. It's based on His goodness and our willingness, His plan and our obedience. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you encouraged today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. An awesome God. Hallelujah. I not only feel like I've been plugged into the battery charger, but I feel like I've been supercharged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Will you take a minute with me and pray? Craig had to work today, but he left a note. And with the note, he left a prayer request. I don't remember the names. I've got them written down. It's not important. God knows who they are, and God knows Craig's heart. We miss him, and I know he dearly misses being here. But he asked that we pray for these people who are controlled by spirits of the liquid persuasion. And he asked that we agree that God will deliver them. And of course, in so doing, not just that they be delivered, but that they receive the Spirit of adoption. Amen? Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption. Amen. Can we pray? Father, you know the names that are on that piece of paper, the ones that are on Craig's heart that I know he's lifted up to you, and now in agreement we lift them up to you also, Lord. We speak to that controlling spirit of alcohol in the name of Jesus. Release your hold on those. We send the word of God and say, be whole, be healed, and be delivered in the name of the Lord. And now we thank you, Lord, that it's by Jesus' name and the character in that name that spirit and those spirits must bow their knee and confess that you are Lord and release their grip. We thank you that it's done in the name of Jesus. And now we give you all praise and all honor and all glory for the manifestation, the completed work. But now, Lord, also we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, we send you now, Holy Spirit, go. Minister their hearts. Reveal to them who God is. And in the emptiness of the desire of alcohol, we speak into their spirits and their souls an insatiable, burning desire for you, Lord, to know you, to be close to you, and to serve you all the days of their life. We thank you for their salvation, Lord, which means everything they need: healing, prosperity, focus, alertness, spiritual rebirth. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Truly, Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. And in your presence, everything that we need is met. You've already done it all, Lord. Now teach us to rest. Teach us not to be anxious for things, but to rest in you. And know that you have said that you freely, freely give us all things. It's your desire, Lord. It was demonstrated in the miracle that happened in Karen's life again. I thank you for stepping in at the times when Karen and her family need you most, Lord, that you show yourself strong on their behalf, but also everyone who's in this room. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this day that you've made. We love you. We worship you. We extol you. We give you honor and glory. And we do cry out, Daddy God. Daddy God, Abba Father. Now, Lord, seal your word in these hearts. Let this encouragement not just be fleeting, but let it go in. Let them be reminded by the Spirit of the hope and the good news that they heard today. Let them be edified and comforted, exhorted and built up, strengthened. For this I praise and thank you and give you all honor and glory, because that was your plan for today, Lord, in all of our lives. You're still at work. Remind us, Lord, that you seek us out. You seek us out. As your children, to act in our behalf and to keep us from the destructions, as the scripture talks about in Psalms, those things that waste in the noonday, that want to waste in the noonday. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see your wings that cover us, that you are an ever-present help in time of need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, let your face shine on the earth. We ask you Let your face shine on these people, Lord. Let the revelation of your presence and your goodness radiate and permeate these people. Let it shine forth from their countenances, Lord, so that people will know just by being in their presence without a word spoken who they belong to and whose they are and who they serve. And let us demonstrate your love and your power and your glory to those we come in contact with. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we dismiss. Bless the fellowship as we retreat to a time of fellowship, Lord, to in your presence, but with one another corporately. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen.